How did African American come to the forefront of American thinking? Where did that happen?
That happened, we've been many things. We were colored, then we were Negro, and then we were black, and then African American came later. And that came, say, about the 80s.
But didn't Malcolm X also promote the identity of blacks and their heritage? The Afro, did that come from Malcolm X?
No, that was all part of promoting the African identity. But the Afro was a creative way. There were no Africans running around with what some of us were wearing. But it was a creative way of establishing our own identity.
And some dress, too, was part of it.
And the dress, yes.
That was just fun within your culture.
Not so much fun, but trying to establish an identity that was different, that was ours, that was uniquely ours. And the handshakes also, the elaborate handshakes, the claps and the daps and all of the other things. We're creative people. This allowed us to be very expressive.
It was in 1967 that you received a job offer from the University of Oklahoma. How did that come about?
I received my doctorate in 1965.
And that was in the field of?
Educational sociology. And my mentor, who was chair of the anthropology sociology department, Professor Leonard Moss, started me teaching as an adjunct professor at Wayne State, introduction to sociology, social psychology, and anything else that he thought that I could teach, because in his mind, I was a teacher. Not in my mind, teaching was a way to earn extra money. But he said, George, you're our best adjunct instructor. So whenever we're scheduling our courses, you tell us when you want to teach and what course you want to teach, and then we'll schedule the other adjuncts. I was good at it. That was my calling, and I didn't realize it. After I received my doctorate in 1965, he called me into his office. He said, you ought to seriously consider becoming a professor. Well, I didn't listen initially. And finally he said, George, I'm not going to schedule you as an adjunct professor anymore because you can do better than an adjunct. And this was in 1967. He said, you've got to decide if you're going to be a teacher or you're going to do those other things that you're doing in terms of community activism. It doesn't have to be either or, but you ought to decide what's going to be most important, the activism or the teaching. I thought about it and I said, well, let me at least try teaching. And he did some things with me. He took me to the national conferences, paid my way, introduced me to some of the foremost sociologists in the field. I was impressed and I said, maybe I will try this teaching. Well, he put the word out before I officially announced that I was going to become, at least try to become a full-time teacher. And one of the individuals who called me was Professor Richard Hilbert of the sociology department at the University of Oklahoma. He had heard through Leonard Moss that I was available to consider a full-time teaching position. Oh, do I remember that call. I was assistant to the superintendent of Detroit Public Schools at the time. My secretary said, there's an individual from the University of Oklahoma who's been trying to reach you for a week, and I've been stalling him because I don't want to lose you. You're the best boss I've ever had. She said, would you talk to him and tell him no so that he'll stop bothering us? Well, I talked to Richard Hilbert. He says, Dr. Henderson, this is Professor Richard Hilbert. The University of Oklahoma would like for you to come and consider a position in education and sociology. He said, I didn't have enough money in my budget, but the College of Education and I got together and we've pooled a position, and we would like for you to interview for it. At the end of that conversation, in my most arrogant voice, I said, Professor Hilbert? He asked, what? I said, there's something you need to know about me. What is it? He asked. I said, I'm a Negro. He said, that's your problem. Would you like to come to the University of Oklahoma? I said to myself, that place can't be all bad. I knew nothing about Oklahoma, I'll be very honest. I quickly went to the library and I looked up Oklahoma, and the first thing I saw, they had lots of Indians. But I knew this about Oklahoma. They had a football team because I had been following those Sooners. So I was going to go to Oklahoma, not to be a serious candidate for that position, because I would let them pay for a vacation for me to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to see Indians, and I wanted to see the football stadium where Bud Wilkinson had won all of those games. I came, and the rest is history.
So you committed then to come, and you moved to Norman. And what did you and Barbara encounter when you came to Norman?
I was extremely naive. I didn't do my homework, really. My professor, incidentally, was in the Navy at the time, and he was stationed in Oklahoma. I thought he was really kidding me about being in the Navy and stationed in Oklahoma. Where's the water? I kept asking him. He says, believe me, it's there. But he told me that it's a social milieu that would not be acceptable, and they would not welcome you with your point of view and with your activism. He begged me not to come to Oklahoma and accept a job. I didn't know that it was once a sundown town. If I had done my research, perhaps I would have found that out.
Tell us what that meant.
That meant that black people could work here during the day, but they had to be out of town, not out of sight, when the sun went down. It was also a place that had a history of driving blacks out of town after dark. One of the grand wizards of the KKK lived here at one time, so it had a long history, but I didn't know the history. What was it like? The realtors had a legally unenforceable covenant that none of them would sell a house to a black family, to a person of African descent, is how it reads. I was ready to teach, but I wasn't ready to be exposed and have my family exposed to some of the things that happened to them and to me and to us. To have garbage thrown on your lawn, to have your car egged, to have people drive by at odd hours shouting epithets, to have the police stop you from time to time and ask why you were in the neighborhood, obscene phone calls at all hours. That was our exposure to Norman, Oklahoma. Hello. But the other side of that story, and the one that I find equally important, happened to have been Sally's real estate. Sam and Sally Matthews and Moki Webb, the realtors, who broke that covenant and had the audacity to sell a house to an African-American family. They broke the code.
But you had tried to buy a couple other houses.
Yes, we did. The first house, Barbara loved it. She took pictures of it. And let me tell you that she was the one who came to look for a house. My job was such that 1967, June, July, we had an altercation in Detroit called the race riot. So being an assistant to the superintendent of Detroit Public Schools, my job was to try to ferret out and to put back together as best we could the Detroit Public Schools. And so Barbara came after I accepted a job at the University of Oklahoma to look for a house. She found a house that was absolutely a dream, made the down payment, and shortly thereafter I received a call from the owner and said, I forgot to tell you that we made significant improvements on the house, and I'll need additional monies. I said, how much? I'll send you a check. And that's when I realized what a pregnant silence was. The phone seemed to have gone dead, but I could hear him breathing. And he said, Brother Henderson, I've got to level with you. A prominent political family lives in the area, and they don't want you there. Property values will go down. It will not look good for them. Would you please not buy the house? I listened to my heart and not my head. We had a binding agreement. I said, you can keep your house. Because Barbara and I had a contingency plan. She had two other houses that she said, hey, if this doesn't work out, here are the others in rank order of preference. Within a week, we received a call from the owners of those houses saying that they were sold. They were not. The word was out. Do not, under any circumstance, sell a house to that family. Well, Sally's real estate did.
How many children did you have at that time?
Seven. Now, the University of Oklahoma was an illogical, irrational job decision for me. Why would any man, father, person responsible for a family as large as mine, accept a $5,000 pay cut to go to a place called Oklahoma where we had no relatives, no connections, and teach? I say in all sincerity to anyone who will believe me, the decision for me to come to Oklahoma was a decision that God made. It wasn't one that George made. It wasn't rational. This was where I was to be.
What were you thinking? Why did you? What was driving you inside that you thought you needed to be here?
I requested that I have 2 hours of time with students. And I don't know why I made that request. But the College of Education, the Department of Sociology said, okay. So they did indeed provide me with 2 hours of free time, unscheduled time in terms of an agenda, with students from sociology and education. The students said to me, Dr. Henderson, we have courses both in sociology and education that pertain to urban education and urban sociology. They're on the books, but they haven't been taught in a long time. You could bring a perspective that we would not get unless someone like you did indeed come here. That made sense to me. And they said something else. They said, we know that you'll be given offers that are much, much larger and perhaps better than what you're going to get from the University of Oklahoma. They were absolutely correct on that one. But we want you. Would you please come?
Then you were the first black professor?
I was the third African-American professor at the University of Oklahoma. Professor Melvin B. Tolson, Jr. was the first professor of French, modern languages. And Professor Lenny Marie Tolliver of Social Work was the second. I was the third. Melvin rented an apartment. Lenny Marie lived in Oklahoma City. So they were not confronted with having to buy property in Norman. We were.